Hi everyone, this is Dr. Cheryl Silman and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me for another profound, life-changing conversation. This show really is providing an opportunity to have these conversations that really are opening our minds, opening our hearts, allowing us to really get greater knowledge, greater information, so we can truly make, as I like to say, informed decisions in our life. And that's the name of the game, especially this day and age. There's so much information coming at us. What's true? What's real? What is, you know, wrapped up in agendas? What, you know, what's really going on? So I am doing my best to invite the guests onto my show who have such integrity and who are really on a purpose, on a path, have a passion to get important knowledge and wisdom out to you. So it's just great having you join me again today. And as always, if you are listening for the very first time, welcome. And I invite you to go to my Facebook. Let's start with my Facebook, which is What Women Must Know. So if you like me over there, all of the shows that I do are archived and then sent out. So they are posted on my Facebook page. If you go to my website, which is drcherylselman.com, and that's DR for doctor, drcherylselman.com, I also send all of the shows out to you. And, of course, if you opt into my newsletter on my website, I send a lot more information throughout the month to you as well. And, you know, it's a great way to just stay in touch. And by the way, there are two podcasts that I have on this network. My other show is called The Love Code. That's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and that has a very spiritual bent. It has spiritual teachers, spiritual seekers. It has people with profound spiritual experiences, because it's about inspiring, uplifting, transforming, opening your heart, connecting you to your soul. So that's every Saturday at 11. I hope you'll be listening to both of my shows, because it's just filled with great people, great information to keep us going throughout the day in this crazy world that we're living in. So today we're going to have a very profound conversation. We're going to be talking about a new documentary called The Medicine. And it's about how an ancient plant can help heal mankind. And my very special guest is the director-producer of this documentary, Farzin Toosi. And I wanted to share a little bit about him. He is an Iranian-American television producer. He is the founder of Alibi New Media, a full-service production company that has produced both reality and digital programming. Recently, Farzin served as an executive producer on branded content series for Marriott International called Open Invitation, which followed Bill Rancic around the world eating and experiencing new destinations. Prior to this, he served as executive producer on Intuit's digital series Small Business Big Game, where the winner of the series was awarded a commercial during the Super Bowl. Farzin was co-executive producer of Unsealed Alien Files and Unsealed Conspiracy Files with over 100 episodes. It currently runs on Netflix. Farzin produced NBC's first scripted branded original series, as well as producing Coastal Dreams, and for the first two seasons of In Gale We Trust. He has worked in the entertainment industry for over 25 years with networks such as Netflix, ABC, NBC, Fox, History Channel, Discovery Channel, TLC, MSNBC, A&E, and many more. And, wow, with all of that, I'm so honored and excited to have as my guest on the show today, Farzin Toosi. So, Farzin, thank you so much for spending this time with us, and welcome.
No, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
So you have survived 25 years in the television industry. Congratulations.
Yeah.
I can't
imagine
what that's like.
Yeah, I think it's 25 years too many.
Yeah, well,
it's a tough business, and getting tougher.
Yeah, gosh, you know, but what you've learned along the way and the contacts and the networking that I'm sure you have you know, created has really helped you to support your projects and your mission in this stage of your life.
No, absolutely. I'm joking around. It's been tremendous learning experience. I've been able to travel the world, meet all kinds of people. But at the same time, I think I'm at a point in my life where the reason this documentary was appealing is because it's really time to give back a little bit and do something that's a little bit more interesting and more fulfilling for me personally, as opposed to, you know, just doing a job.
Right. So let me just set this stage for this conversation, because we're going to be talking about this amazing documentary you made called The Medicine. And The Medicine comes out of your experience, which we're going to get into in a little bit, using the ancient herbal medicine. It is medicine. There's no other way to say it. Called ayahuasca. It's also called yahe in Colombia. Now, this is a journey that I have been on for the past 5 years now. I've talked about it before on my podcast. I've had amazing guests who've talked about this on my podcast. Why? And kind of it's out of the norm, but it is so profound in the ability to offer people healing, which is, you know, I'm a psychotherapist first and a naturopathic doctor. My whole life has really been focused on how to support people in healing from their traumas, healing from the physical issues, healing from the events of the past, healing from a disconnection from themselves. And my introduction to this world, this ancient spiritual knowledge from the Amazon, has profoundly changed my life, and it has really altered the direction of my whole reality right now. And I go back twice a year to Costa Rica to be able to partake in the medicine. I teach there. I take people there. Because it is life transforming, and I've done this journey with the medicine because I was ready for a quantum leap in my life, and a quantum leap into a greater connection to who I am, greater healing, so I can fulfill a greater purpose, and that's what brought me here. So that's kind of my little disclaimer about why we're having this conversation, how important it is, and to really understand and appreciate beyond all the kind of negative programming we have about the medicine out of these traditional cultures that alter our perception and allow us to really connect on a whole new level to who we are. So Farzan, I just needed to say that to kind of set the stage for what we're going to talk about. And I want us to begin our conversation by sharing your journey and how, as this very traditional television producer, obviously incredibly successful in your industry, how did you begin your interest in working with this medicine of the Amazon and how it impacted your life?
Sounds good. So, summer of 2016, my wife was invited to go to Rytmia. And she was dealing with the loss of her father. And she was not in a great space. She was really having a hard time. And her friend, Brandy Powell, you know, they were just opening up the center, had recently just opened up, and said, listen, come on down to Costa Rica. And, you know, you need this, and it'll help you. So she came to me and she said, listen, I'm going to this place. There's no alcohol, no TVs, you know, the food's kind of, you know, healthy. I'm like, no, thank you. It doesn't sound like a vacation. You know, you go ahead and I'll just stay home and I'll be fine. So she goes down to Costa Rica and she does two ceremonies with Taika Juanito. And within the few days, even from her texting me and me talking to her over the phone, she seemed transformed. She was more at peace with with the loss of her father. She had a vision where she connected with her father, and her father told her that, you know, he's doing fine, and she just came back a different person and was really a lot happier than before she left for Costa Rica. So when she came back and I saw the transformation, and she told me that she actually connected with my father, who passed away in 1991. And she had never met him, obviously. And for me, it was like, wow, I want that opportunity. Even though I'm not that kind of guy, I wasn't that kind of guy at that time to be this, you know, spiritual person who thinks that you can connect with the other side and all that fun stuff. So I immediately got on a plane. I went to Ritmia. Now, I didn't have as a profound of a experience as she did, where I connected with loved ones, but I came back, you know, and I had more empathy. I felt better. I had a short fuse, and that was, I was much calmer, and I stopped drinking alcohol. And that was not an intention. You know, I was really not, you know, I liked drinking alcohol, and there was a way to cope, like all of America does. But I stopped drinking, which was really profound for me. And at that time, you know, I was like, maybe there's something to this. And that was sort of my first experience. And the first few times at Ritmia, I did not have, you know, what people, you know, it wasn't, there weren't hard experiences. They were really gentle but yet profound. And when you talk to people, to the shamans, and they always say, you know, this medicine knows what you need. And at that time, I wasn't buying it. Now, 3 years later, I buy it. It's a very smart medicine, you know. You know, at that time I was still very skeptical, but, you know, I'm like, okay, well, you know, maybe what they, you know, I started studying. I went into it not knowing anything. Then I started studying it. I watched, Graham Hancock's, band TED Talk, as a starter. And that really sort of really made me understand, you know, a little bit more. And then I started really going deep into it. So that was my first experience.
So I'd like to ask you, how did that change your relationship with your wife? Did you notice changes from both of you doing the medicine?
It definitely brought us closer. It's, you know, when somebody is grieving and in a bad spot, it's definitely not conducive to a good relationship. You know, and I think once that burden was off of her, it definitely brought us closer. And also there was a commonality, right? We were experiencing, you know, we oftentimes in our marriages and relationships, we kind of do our own thing, you know, but this was a common ground. And that's when this conversation of doing this documentary came up. It was her idea.
Well, I just want to say that because I have been to Ritmia Life Advancement Center in Costa Rica, which is dedicated to providing these opportunities to have ceremonies with the medicine and a whole transformational week. And the couples that, even if just one, you know, one part of that couple came, but especially when couples came, I have seen transformation in relationships, transformations that were withering on the vine, blossomed again. People opened their hearts. They connected to each other on a soul level. It's just been so beautiful to see this love get reignited as people reconnect to the love inside themselves, because obviously you can't have that in a relationship if you don't have it first inside yourself, and that's what so few people really are able to maintain. You know, you have that in love stage, which is designed to last no longer than 3 years, and then you come up with all the stuff that goes on within us. So it's a beautiful, beautiful medicine to to allow people to reconnect from their hearts again.
I agree 100%. It's definitely a heart opener for sure.
So this really turned you around because you were a bit of a skeptic and you were, you know, in the kind of, you know, kind of material world, you know, and stuck into that world of television and, you know, just everything that's involved and the dynamics for that. And suddenly something opened up. You had a whole new experience of another reality. Do you want to share a little bit more about that?
Yeah, for sure. I think you know, the entertainment industry is super difficult. It's long hours. It's a lot of egos. You know, and I think my short fuse had developed over the years of just dealing with all this. You know, you're supposed to be on 24/7, and there's no really, there are no lines or boundaries in the entertainment business, you know. So I was at a point where I felt super stuck. And this really allowed me to really think outside of what I had been thinking for so long. How I was programmed and what I was doing on a day-to-day basis, and really gave me a lot of hope, and made me start thinking about different things beyond just my day-to-day. Definitely opened me up, it's odd because I feel like we're all very disconnected in today's sort of society, and I think part of what I felt, especially at Rythmia, was a sense of connection to other people at Rythmia, the shamans, the guests during ceremonies, and there's a really a sense of community that was really heartwarming. And then you fly back into LAX, and all that stuff is unwound within 5 minutes if you've ever flown through LAX. So you have to really work hard to try and get it back, you know. So it's definitely, it's definitely showed me that there could be other stuff out there other than my day-to-day life.
Well, I'm sure it was a big awakening for you.
Yes.
You know, we get so locked into our 9-to-5 world. You know, we're on the treadmill, and really it's the hamster wheel going round and round, and we work, and we, you know, working for money, and then we try to have a little, you know, relaxation. So we get into alcohol, we get into drugs, we get into whatever, you know, addiction we like at the moment, and then you know, all the traumas that people are dealing with. So your life changed from doing this, and I think this is a good place to explain to people what ayahuasca is, what this tradition is, and then what led you to create this beautiful documentary. And it is a beautiful, inspiring, healing experience. The documentary called The Medicine, which is, that's the website, themedicine.com, because you have really guided people into the tradition, into the history, into understanding the indigenous cultures, and then taking people into the modern world with two very wounded people that you highlight in your documentary, and what's happened to them by kind of, you know, entering into this world of this ancient healing tradition. So let's start there by, you know, what in your experience and from what you've been learning, because you had some great interviews, people like Graham Hancock. What is this medicine that you talk about?
Sure. By the way, it's themedicinedocumentary.com.
Themedicinedocumentary.com. Oh,
yeah,
thank you. Okay, awesome.
No worries.
Yeah.
All good. So basically, it's a life. It's a vine and a leaf that they brew into a tea in the Amazon region, and two simple plants. That these two plants are required to be brewed together in order to get the psychedelic effect. And for me, that one of the once after the initial time that I tried it and I started actually studying it, one thing that I found fascinating is that how can every tribe in the Amazon region, whether they're in Brazil, Peru, Ecuador, or Colombia, and some parts of Venezuela, figure out how to put these two different plants together to get this effect? There are 150,000 species of plants in the Amazon. And I found that very curious. And I was like, whoa, this is really mind-boggling. They didn't have labs, you know, and they didn't really know what they were doing back then, I would imagine, when it comes to, like, experimenting. So if you talk to the indigenous people, the story that's been passed on is that the spirit world came down and gave them the answers. And I found that part of the story really interesting. So what happens is they brew this together, and there's a compound called DMT, and the DMT, if you don't have both plants, the DMT doesn't get digested into your system. So this is why it's important to have both the vine and the leaf. And the DMT is what causes these visions. And these visions are essentially, you know, I think the portal to the spirit world, where you get, you're supposed to get, you know, answers to your life, or, you know, connect with your loved ones or the spirit world. And part of my, you know, when this gets classified as a psychedelic with LSD or MDMA, I kind of have an issue with this, because this particular medicine is just, to me, you're connecting with a divine spirit, you know, and it's not, I don't think it's the same. And I don't think it's the same as mushrooms or even San Pedro or other psychedelics. This is just, to me, it's a, you know, grade or two above other plant medicines.
You know, in the that's a question I've always had. Where, you know, there are 150,000 species in the Amazon. How were these two plants found? How did they know to combine them? How did they know how to prepare it? Because it's not, you know, it's not just finding these plants. You've got to prepare it and brew it, and there's a whole ritual and tradition. And that's such a fascinating question to hold. And also, in the documentary, it was stated that the indigenous people have been using this medicine, which is part of their spiritual tradition, for more than 4,000 years. More than 4,000 years. And they actually hid it from the Spaniards, because the Spaniards were destroying everything about the indigenous cultures, and they hid it from them because it was forbidden anyway. And it's only now, in recent years, coming into, just like emerging into our modern world to help us. To help us. We are desperately in need of help, because we've become so disconnected from nature. I mean, it's one of the things I've learned from doing the medicine, and what I've been learning from the shaman, really pressed upon me how disconnected we are from nature, because we are nature. We are part of nature, and when you disconnect from yourself, and how this this is a gift being given to us to reconnect to who we truly are, to our souls, to our spiritual essences. And you know, when you realize this, you're so humbled, right? You're so humbled to be able to receive this gift of nature.
I think it's interesting that they made a conscious decision. They're seeing their forest, the Amazon forest, getting destroyed, and they feel that it's the way to save their forest is to change us. You know, and change the outsiders. And I find that interesting. You know, when you talk to a lot of shamans, they say the elders decided that it's time for this medicine to go to the West. you know, or in their case, to go up north, because they see the destruction around them, and they do it. I want to point out, they do this sort of lovingly. They're not passing judgment. They just, you know, the indigenous people have just a different way of looking at people, at humanity, unlike us. You know, and that's been the most profound experience that I've had with specifically with Taika Waititi, the shaman in our documentary, is that, you know, I'm trying on a daily basis to not judge as much as I used to, right? We just, you know, they're not judging anybody. They just want to help, and they think that help is really universal love, which is, you know, really their biggest point is that, and that's what you feel when you do an ayahuasca circle. It's really pure love, you know, pure community, brotherhood, whatever you want to call it, sisterhood. Everybody is in there together, and that's what attracted me, even at times where I had lost faith in the medicine, and that happens because it's work and a journey, and you're fighting the real world, you know, you're trying to keep it all together. I've always gone back for that community and the love that it provides.
Absolutely. I loved what Graham Hancock has said in the documentary, and he said this medicine, the purpose of this medicine is to help us heal. So that could be physical healings, because I've seen people, and you have seen people, who've come in with all sorts of physical chronic illnesses heal after doing this medicine for a week, or heal from PTSD, or heal from addictions, or heal from sexual abuse, or whatever traumas you might have encountered in your life, and also to evolve. And I love that. It's to heal and to evolve. It's to evolve into a greater connection to who we really are, so much more than what we think of by running around in our daily life. And all religions are trying to help us do that, evolve, to heal. But you have to go beyond your conditioning, beyond the cultural norms. You have to go beyond your left brain. I mean, it's really difficult to do that, to get out of the world that we've created to experience who we are, you know, unless people have some spontaneous awakening. It's really difficult.
Well, I think that traditional religion wants you to evolve to a certain point. you know, and I think, you know, some of the other philosophies, you know, it's infinite. You know, how far you go down the path of consciousness.
Yes, and to have a direct experience rather than to sit in, you know, a church or a temple or a synagogue or a mosque, to have a direct experience is what really drew me to this medicine, to really drew me. I mean, I studied, you know, many spiritual traditions, but it's having a direct experience, because unless you have a direct experience, unless you have an opportunity, as they're finding now, is to rewire your brain in a way that opens up so you have an expanded perception of reality, you really don't know who you are and what's possible.
100%.
So let's talk about the documentary. Let's talk about the stories that you wove into this, and particularly the two people that you chose to kind of be highlighted as experiences and demonstrations of what this medicine can do.
Sure. We took Kerry Rhodes, who is a former NFL player, and Annalyn McCord, who is an actress down to Rhythmia, for a couple of ceremonies with Taika Waititi. And, you know, I think in Kerry's case, he's always played the tough guy. You know, he had to be, you know, a tough football player and had concussions, and I think he was trying to really come out of that mold and have a more well-rounded personality and deal with himself a little bit better and see if we can, there's some reports that ayahuasca actually regenerates brain cells, and he was worried about CTE and all the concussions he had while playing football. So this was really his draw to go down to Rhythmia. In the case of Annabelle McCourt, she's a survivor of sexual abuse and been very, vocal about her past and trying to deal with it. She's running a organization that's anti-human trafficking, so she's very vested in trying to help people. And for her, she's had a hard time, as she says in the documentary, had a hard time with all this and finding intimacy. So that was her reasoning for doing this. The results were a little different. I think for each, we had a screening last night, and both Carrie and Anna Lynn were there and talking about their experiences, and they both, this is now going on 3 years now, I think they both have had this medicine profoundly affect their lives and change their lives. In the case of Anna Lynn, it didn't really hit her until much later down the line. Whereas with Carrie, he's actually continued doing the medicine, and he's definitely changed his way of life from how he approaches things. And in a way, he's definitely down the spiritual path and really thriving.
So can you share a little bit more what they said? I mean, if it's been 3 years since they've had the medicine, of course. And Carrie played for what team on the NFL?
The Cardinals and the Jets.
Okay. And, so they came. I mean, you sought them out. Did you know them, or how did you make the decision who to feature in the film?
We knew them. And... and there were really, interesting choices, because I think they both bring two different sort of worlds. They're both in the celebrity world, but one comes from, professional sports and one comes from acting, Hollywood. And knowing Anna Lynn, it seemed, and the thing is, like, this is a personal relationship, and she had, part of the reason she decided to go down this path was she saw somebody like me who was very black and white, who didn't believe in God, all of a sudden believe in God and be transformed and change and see those changes. And then she's like, okay, well, you're not that out there, so maybe there's something to this. And that at least was kind of the impetus of her thinking about it. In the case of Carrie, he's like, he said this last night, he goes, well, this is kind of crazy, he had to really think about it. But when he studied it and saw that there is all this, these studies going on, and specifically in the area of regenerating brain cells, it seemed like a no-brainer, no pun intended, for him to see if this could actually help with him getting CTE down the line. I mean, there's some stories that say that it prevents Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, and there's all kinds of physical effects that take place in your brain that they can't explain. Science can't explain.
So, Farzan, excuse me, but was he actually experiencing any symptoms of brain damage?
No, this is more just a worry.
He's just concerned.
Yeah. Because you can't really, it doesn't come up on any CAT scans, or, it's not detectable. you know, so it's always a concern.
Okay, so you enrolled him, and then
yes.
and then so Annalyn was curious after seeing the transformation in you, and
yes.
she has been carrying this trauma. So and the documentary talks about what a clean living girl she is. Never did any alcohol, never partakes in any drugs, and yet she was open and willing to go down this path.
Yeah, yeah, no, it was a big leap for her. And look, I think part of allowing this medicine to work and for me it was very difficult for the first few times is you have to let things go. You can't be in control. You know, once you drink this, you know, it wants to take over and do what it feels like it needs to do. And for her, she's obviously, you know, and she, you know, into not losing control. If somebody's, you know, that's her reasoning for not drinking or doing drugs. She doesn't want to lose control. And you know, and I think that's, you know, for whoever wants to try this, that one of the biggest things and most difficult things is that you just have to let go and let it do its thing. You know, and I think she had a difficult experience. So she wound up not doing the second night. And that was because she was really fighting the medicine, you know. But in her case, she set out that night sort of 11 or 12 things that she needed to get done. And as she reported last night over, you know, and she doesn't think it's a coincidence. And she thinks that she's checked off all those things over the past 2 years or however it's been since she tried it. So she credits the medicine for helping her accomplish her life's to-do list over the past year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah. You know, it takes great courage for anyone to heal, because to heal, you do have to have a look at the trauma. In the case of medicine, some people, in my experience, having done many ceremonies now, some people actually have a challenging time the first night or so because they are having to examine what happened, have a look at it before they can move on from that and get the gift of that experience and reconnect. And the other thing and some people don't. They just go into amazing experiences like your wife had of just other experiences of other realms, other
mm-hmm.
you know, connections. But the real proof of the pudding is not what happens in those ceremonies. It's what happens and all the changes that are going on, and we can talk a bit more about what's happening to the brain, because you had some great scientists in the medicine documentary talk about what they're discovering, what happens neurologically when you imbibe these herbs. But it's down the track, right, that you see the transformation, how your life is so different when you have freed yourself from so many of the limitations and the programmings and how our brain has been wired. When we change that, all sorts of new possibilities open up in how to live a more joyful, meaningful, purposeful life.
Yeah, I think we get conditioned from ages 0 to 6 and we spend the rest of our life trying to uncondition ourselves. And I feel, you know, it's so much work to do that. You know, it's a lot of work to do that. And I think it's, and by the way, and I feel like anybody who does ayahuasca is super brave, because it's not an easy healing process. You know, it's. You know, having to face your traumas is not easy. And that's the other, and I think in the documentary, you know, I tried to make a point that to distinguish this from a drug, because I think that with drugs, you take them, and I consider alcohol a drug as well, you take drugs to forget about your life, you know, and this is the opposite. You're confronted with your life, and you wind up dealing with your life. And, you know, with drugs, you feel good, either, you know, and then you might feel bad the next day or the day after. But with this, you feel terrible overnight, you know. But the next day, 9, 10 a.m. rolls around, you feel amazing. And you carry that forward for a bit of time, if not forever.
So I want to ask you a personal question. So you said, you know, you imbibed in alcohol. Did you use alcohol to escape? Were you, you know, relying on alcohol? And you said after the medicine, that all changed. Can you share a little bit more about that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was a complete escape. You know, the as I mentioned earlier, the entertainment industry is just brutal in the hours, in the pressures, you know, and in the egos and how people interact with each other, and it was my way of, you know, getting home after 10, 11 hours and just, you know, drinking literally 2 or 3, you know, scotches, you know, or vodka on the rocks every night. You know, and it was my way of coping with really mostly the personalities, the big personalities in this business, in this industry. So, and I, also I think, you know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, a lot of pressures of life, you know, get to you, and this is an easy escape, and it's sanctioned, you know, it's readily available and advertised and promoted, and you know, it's just there, and it's what you're supposed to do. So, you know, I think it was really one of the miracles that happened to me to stop drinking spirits.
I would think it would be a miracle for sure, because, you know, it's not easy to give up, you know, a drug that alters you to cope. So when you stopped, when you no longer needed to use alcohol, what else did you find? Are you able to just feel more at peace? Do you handle stress better? Do you do other practices now?
Well, I meditate. You know, I do a lot of meditation, and I was definitely more at peace. Living in LA, you just have inherent road rage, you know, and all of those kind of, you know, issues that I had prior to the summer of 2016 have literally gone. You know,
yeah.
where you know, I don't confront people, I don't engage, you know, I don't lose my temper that readily, you know, where you know, the short fuse was literally on a, you know, on a weekly or daily basis, you know, where something would really piss me off and I would go off, you know, and that has completely changed, and just a little bit more, you know, at ease with life and what it throws at me.
Which is a miracle, really.
Yes, yes. Yes, all that's just being able to manage stress is a big deal. You know, because stress, you know, manifests itself down the line in all kinds of illnesses and crazy stuff.
So a couple more questions that
sure.
I'd like to ask. You brought in some scientists to help understand and explain what they're learning about this medicine and why it's a medicine that it truly is a medicine in the greatest sense of the word, because it brings us back to our wholeness again as medicine's supposed to do. That's the purpose. What did you learn about some of the science that's going on? I know they're doing a lot of research in Spain and in Brazil and even in the United States.
My biggest takeaway is, you know, and I don't want to pretend like I'm a scientist, but my biggest takeaway is that they really can't explain what goes on with this medicine. You know, they know that it resets the chemicals in your brain. They know all the benefits and they're studying all that stuff, but they just cannot tell us, you know, why it's happening or how it's happening, you know, and that's the, you know, and I think this is where, you know, what we tried to do was we tried to kind of, you know, weave in, you know, the science within the spirituality of this medicine, because there is just no real explaining of this with a rational mind, with a scientific mind, you know, but they are studying the effects, you know, they're studying what it can do for people. You know, and you had mentioned how we've seen, you know, this medicine help people physically, you know, and how can you explain, like I've seen this with my own eyes, with somebody who couldn't walk on the first day of the retreat, and by the end of it, they're walking, you know, or walking or being able to walk on their own as opposed to walk with help. You know, this is, I don't think we'll ever be able to explain it without a leap of faith.
You know, the way that it's talked about with shaman in their languaging, the way it's talked about at Rhythmia in their languaging, is it's about connecting to the soul, because that's this eternal, infinite place of aspect. It's not a place, it's a frequency, it's a consciousness that inhibits this body. You know, we are a soul, and for me, as a healer doing healing work, the ultimate healing is reconnecting to your soul, because that's the place where you access infinite love and joy, peace and healing. It's like you correct and bring balance to all the chaos that comes from the fear, the anxiety, you know, the anger, whatever however we manifest the trauma. So real healing, real deep healing, whether it's any chronic illness, be it cancer, be it autoimmune diseases, be it Parkinson's, be it, I've seen heart disease, I've seen everything since doing this medicine. The body can heal when we align again with our soul, or this divine place within us where all possibilities, all healing resides. It's like it is very much realigning the chaos that comes from disconnection into this harmony again. And that's where miracles happen, right? Farzan, you've seen that, and I've seen that. It's so amazing to have, to witness that and to experience it for yourself.
I'm going through that right now, where I'm trying to realign myself, you know, and it's been a lot of work. And it's funny because, you know, I mentioned the lack of faith a little bit earlier, but, you know, over the summer I was at a ceremony and literally people were coming up to me saying, hi, you know, you look like you're not aligned with your life purpose. And everybody was literally like picking it off of me.
What a thing to be greeted with.
Yeah. Literally 2 minutes into a conversation, like, you're not aligned with your life purpose, you know? And I think it's what you just said is super important. I think that's the difference between happiness and unhappiness. Just to be aligned with what you're supposed to be doing, as corny as it may sound, but it's really true. The other thing is, you know, the other aspect that I learned from this medicine is that, you know, without loving yourself, you know, and it's just, you know, it's so much about love, this medicine, you know, whether, you know, whoever you do it with, that's what it ultimately boils down to. It's like, if you don't love yourself, it's really hard to love others and to be really happy, you know. That's sort of been my journey, and it seems to be you know, if you listen to people's stories talking about it, it seems so universal, this lack of love. And it's because of the conditioning that we get as a child, whatever the circumstances are, right? But it's all very varying degrees of lack of self-love or self-worth that most people go to work on, you know, that to heal from, seems to me.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's the bottom line, right? That's the bottom line. That's why it's so important to wake up to who we are, because when we operate, this is just my take on this, Arthur, when we operate out of our trauma, we become dysfunctional. When we become dysfunctional, we make dysfunctional choices. We live dysfunctional lives. We disconnect from the real source of our joy and happiness. And then we can become destructive. We can be destructive to the environment. We can be destructive to each other. We can make choices that lead to, you know, harm to ourselves and others. But when you begin this spiritual journey and you reconnect to a place of wisdom and love and compassion inside yourself, everything changes. You see the world anew. And that's literally what happens to the brain when you're doing this medicine. It's rewiring you in such a way that you have a new perception of reality. And from there, you live with greater purpose and meaning and in greater, you know, joy and connection to your own heart. But to me, this is why I'm so passionate about this medicine, why I'm passionate about the journeys that I've been taking and passionate about creating opportunities for people to come with me on this week-long experience at Rhythmia to find out there's so much more waiting for them, so much more possibilities that you can't even imagine until you go and just jump in and trust.
Yeah, I think trust is key. It's a scary process. You know, it can be a scary process or it can be a beautiful process, but generally, you know, it's not easy. It's work, you know, but the results are well worth it, in my opinion.
You know, it is scary. It's like, that's why people don't like to change. Change is scary. Right?
Yeah.
You know, having to face things that you haven't encountered before or face things that you may have encountered that you want to shut down from, but don't, they never go away. They're always there, like termites eating away at the foundation of your soul. So, yes, it takes courage. I always acknowledge people who do this kind of journeying because they're the real warriors, as far as I'm concerned, because they have the courage to jump into the unknown, to access, you know, just other realms of consciousness that are other experiences, which always are going to give them gifts, always are going to give you gifts, you know. Wow. So, you know, we've kind of come to the end. Before we wrap things up, Farzan, what would you say your purpose, your intention for creating the Medicine Documentary, which is the website, themedicinedocumentary.com, what is your purpose and intention?
Truthfully, it's really simple. I think it helped me, and it's just my own journey. It helped me, then I kind of got lost a little bit and set some issues, you know, and lost faith and blah, blah, blah. And then it's sort of like recently it's changed my life. You know, it unilaterally took me from, you know, it took 2 years to get here, and I had an experience with Taita Juanito, and it was really profound and really scary. And I was talking to them in the morning, and they're like, we didn't want to move you or touch you because we've been waiting for this for 2 years. You know, we didn't want to spoil anything. And I said, you guys must have been scared. You guys thought I was going to die or something. They're like, no, man, this happens all the time. It just took you a long time to get there. So I feel blessed to have gotten there and under the care of Taita Juanito and his guys. But it's helped me, and it's helped me in the beginning. It's helped me recently. It will continue to help me. And the idea I feel this medicine is part of our solution to our ailments. You know, as people in big cities and tough jobs and stressful jobs or people with PTSD or childhood traumas, I think this is part of the solution. It's just getting people to take that step. We try to make a documentary that's a little bit more informative and palatable and talks about the history and the science and tries to distinguish this from other Schedule I drugs, for example, because it shouldn't be on that list. So that's our goal, to try and get the word out.
Well, I want to congratulate you again for creating a very beautiful, educational, but also so moving an experience. And you've done it so well. So I just want to really, acknowledge you for all the work you put into it. And I know that this documentary will go far and wide and change people's lives all over the world, Barzin. And it's going to be very, very instrumental in this whole change of consciousness that we are undergoing now and desperately need. So I encourage people to watch it. Can you tell people how they can actually view the documentary, which everyone should really watch it?
Thank you. It's actually, there's a link on the website. I think if you go to themedicinedocumentary.com, you'll see a tab that says watch. You go there and you can rent it or buy it and watch it, stream it online or on the Vimeo app on your Apple TV or Roku. It's pretty straightforward.
That's great. So the documentary, themedicinedocumentary.com is the website. I do want to just say here that I am taking a group for the fourth time. This will be the fourth year that I am returning to Rhythmia in Costa Rica, the week of February 9th. So if anyone is interested, they can contact me or go to rhythmia.com/Selman. If you like me over on my Facebook page or opt into my website, I'm actually going to be sending out some interesting articles that I have written about my experience and about the science and research behind the medicine of ayahuasca plus arrhythmia. So if you're ready for any kind of transformation, healing, quantum leaps, if you're ready for a new life, be open to possibilities. Farzin, it's just been such a pleasure to have this conversation with you. I wish you the greatest success. I know there's a great spiritual power behind you that is going to be moving what you're doing in this documentary to have a huge impact on people's lives. So grateful to you for making it happen. Please, everyone listening, check it out, themedicinedocumentary.com. We've been talking about how an ancient plant can help heal mankind. Quite a statement, but it's so true, isn't it, Farzin? So true.
It really is. It really is.
So I've been talking to the documentary maker, Farzin Tusi, and until next time, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.